Chapter 16. Section E was a long way out from the Colossus receiver cradle. On the way down from Geneva's office, Zidorov walked through the crowds at the reception level, many of them roused from their chambers by the alarm and waiting for clearance to go back to work. The security guards were still prowling, still pointing their guns at things, still looking twitchy. Zidorov wasn't sure what they thought there was to shoot at. That had never been a great way of putting out fires. He retrieved his vehicle and headed out from under the shadow of the disc. As he did so, he caught sight of the enormous hull of the Slovo 6 as it towered overhead, as big as a building in its own right, now punctured by tubes just as Borodina had been, umbilicals and conveyor gantries and refuel coils, prepping it for its next takeoff, even as the cargo was still being pulled from its cavernous innards. Ahead of him, the transitways looped and swirled around the many bulbous edifices. At times the routes were raised on stilts high above ground level, at others they plunged underground. The constructions around him were all industrial, fuel storage tanks in immense white globes, refineries burning away amid tangles of pipework, service bays packed with goods haulers in orderly rows, launch pads for atmospheric patrol craft and maintenance rigs. The air tasted almost as bad as it had done in the Scarlands, and he flicked on the filters. Eventually he reached the expanse of warehouses that served the Colossus platform. They were brute boxes, thrown-up metal skeletons covered in flimsy plastic panels, ugly giants that marched off towards the horizon in a jigsaw of overlapping pictures. As with everything in Yergeyina, little planning had gone into their construction. The space was filled with a chaotic mix of building, demolition, and rebuilding. Some of the smaller warehouses were on a comprehensible scale, little larger than major hab blocks. Some of the larger ones almost defied belief and soared into the gritty air like barren cathedrals, their insides stacked with cog-emblazoned void crates and aquila-marked container capsules that formed their own strange temporary cityscapes. Much of the labour here was semi-automated, driven by servitors slave to track lifters following dedicated rail lines. Plenty of menials still swarmed through the narrow transit capillaries, though, most in fluorescent environment suits and basic rebreather masks. They bore the liveries of each warehouse on their backs, the feudal marks of their allegiance, picking them out as members of the Tereshova Combine, or the Remortha Brotherhood, or the Jash Corporation, or one of 100 others. It was a strange twilight realm, even in the middle of the day, overhung by the steep warehouse sides or the comms towers, throwing everything into a poorly lit shadowland of perpetual skittering movement. Once close, Zidorov got out of the ground car and went the rest of the way on foot. The route given by the machine spirit in his locator was convoluted, and he had to rise up 3 levels on open rockcrete stairways, then down 2 more, then out across a cracked viaduct that spanned a deep ravine where a mag train line had been cut. At all times he was surrounded, jostled by workers hurrying from one task to another, or servitors limping under heavy loads, or whining cargo gurneys clattering to receiving berths. Eventually, he reached a place where he could get a clear look at Warehouse 94. He leaned against the chip railing of the walkway, hooking an elbow as if taking a break from a punishing work shift. He scanned the buildings ahead, ignoring the constant press of people and machinery passing by. The warehouse wasn't one of the monsters, but it was still big enough. Like many of them, it didn't carry an obvious corporate sigil. There were no windows that he could make out, just a series of loader doors all shut. It was protected by a high flaywire fence, and he could make out the telltale bulge of security scanners lodged under the high guttering. Nothing remarkable. He started to walk again, following the long perimeter of the building. He managed to gain a sight line into the storage yards outside the main covered area and saw nothing waiting, no crates, no loaders. There were no security personnel either. Tracing a convoluted route, he managed to circumambulate about a third of the site's edge and caught sight of nothing much out of the ordinary. But then, that in itself was something to be wary of. Most other warehouses in the region were more active, with heavy loaders rumbling in and out of the lift doors. Most had some sort of insignia somewhere, even if it was discreet. Most looked less abandoned. It was too busy to use an Auspex without attracting attention. Zidorov was conscious that he already looked a little out of the ordinary, given that he was wearing no safety gear. He narrowed his eyes, used his iris to store some static pics, and applied the very basic analysis built into his implants. The warehouse had a significant heat signature, which was odd. Most were extensively cooled. He could pick up some movement within, nothing precise, but there was a lot of it, indicating that many bodies were milling around, or perhaps patrolling. He ran an Audex filter and picked up the low grind of running machinery. It was all strangely familiar. At any moment he half expected to see a gurney clatter out for maintenance, or a brace of second circle operatives emerge into the rain and start chatting. He switched off his iris filters and leaned back against the railing again. A place like that would be easy to defend and hard to infiltrate. It was surrounded on all sides by the mishmash of industrial buildings with high walls and poor access. If the contents were of value, and he felt sure they were of extreme value, then they'd be guarded handsomely. He could have requested a forced entry just as before, but his stock was low for that, and he could guess what Von Geller would say. More importantly, he had a strong sense that keeping things quiet, even from his chain of command, was preferable. He had no idea who was operating that place, and until he did, it was best no one else was involved. He withdrew, going back the way he'd come. The rain was steady, making the walkways slippery, and he kept his head down and his collar up. Once back at the Luxor, he turned the heaters on full and rubbed his hands together to warm them. He thought about his options. Getting inside the warehouse was essential, but it would be hard without backup. Brecht might agree to go in with him, but Brecht wasn't much use in a firefight, or indeed in any situation where you might need to be quick on your feet. Sanctioner cover would be ideal, but again it would be preferable to do it without putting in any kind of formal request. You never knew who was listening in on those. He checked which squads were assigned to the suborbital habclave. To his surprise, given all that had taken place, only one was. He pulled up the name of the sergeant, and his heart sank. Gerdik Draj. This would be fun. Zidorov tracked him down to a supply station a few miles south. It had taken a few attempts to get him to take the call, but he had, in the end, because even Draj couldn't resist a direct order from someone who, on the data slate at least, was his command superior. The sanctioner sergeant was waiting for him in the heart of the supply station, equipped ready for combat, bleeding hostility. He'd even put his helmet on, hiding that brutish face behind a blank screen of black armour glass. "His hand," said Zidorov warily. Draj grunted. He was sitting on a metal bench. The floor was metal, the ceiling was metal, and there were no windows. One wall was entirely taken up by cabinets containing sanctioners' playthings. Mauls, rechargers for mauls, maul cleaners, extended mauls, holsters for extended mauls, the usual stuff. Ammo boxes filled another cabinet, all locked down, as well as replacement auto guns and las pistols. The next chamber down had ration packs and clothing, the one beyond that, armour pieces. The entire place was small, hidden away, but it was capable of re-equipping several squads at short notice. Yergeyina was littered with them, sighted to provide rapid support to the many squads out in the field. They were meant to be regularly replenished, though some were little more than handy storage for alcohol and contraband. This one clearly wasn't short of useful material. Zidorov sat opposite him. "What are the chances, eh? You and me together again. The dream team." Draj snarled at him, and a gust of alcohol-laced breath came through the helmet's vox grill. "Get to the point." "What are you even doing here, Draj? I thought your zones were all central." "Someone had to sort your shit out." Zidorov guessed it was a mix of motives. Draj probably did want to score a few hits to pay back what had happened to Borodino. He also probably liked the idea of being in a place where he could act with virtual impunity. Even in Varangantua, enforcers really got to indulge their urges with total freedom. But up here, given what had happened, no one was going to ask him to go gently. "I never apologised for what went down, did I?" said Zidorov.
"You didn't."
"Well, I'm not going to now either. It was a sound lead and we got unlucky. Still, it's led me up here now to see your cheerful face again, so it's not all bad." Draj started to take apart his gun. He soon had a cloth in one hand and started to get to work.
"I don't have long."
"I'm following the same trail," said Zidorov. "You know how this started. I get asked to look into something. It leads to the Vidora. That leads to us going after them and then hitting us back, and then us wiping them out. It's all been tremendous fun, but it's now looking quite handy for some other people. We've degraded the cartels so much that they've pulled out of something that used to earn them a lot of slate. Someone else has stepped in. Very convenient. I think we've been played for fools, but it isn't over quite yet. Draj looked up. The hard lumens of the supply station reflected almost perfectly in his black visor.
You want another aid?
Not on the books. I don't trust it not to get out. And I don't need a squad. I just need someone who knows what they're doing with them all.
Draj barked a laugh. No chance.
You should think about it.
I have done. No chance.
They're the ones who killed Rovac. They're the ones who put Borodina under the knife.
Draj stopped cleaning his gun.
The Vidura did that.
We never had proof. Yuti denied it. And why would they do it anyway? To avenge a botched raid?
Come on.
That was always shit. We raid them all the time.
Who then?
The people who want to control cell draining in Yorgiyina, who want to lift it off-world, who don't want any rivals and want us to think that we've solved the problem so we never even look in their direction.
Now he had Draja's attention.
So you got proof, he said.
I've got a solid lead, but I don't know who they are yet.
Zidorov leaned forward, his elbows resting on his knees.
I need to get inside a warehouse, one that's on your patch. My guess is that the operation we busted in the Grade 8s is still going on in there, or maybe just the materials. But someone's been spending a lot of slate to push the cartels out of the suborbitals, and they aren't going to use the space for flower arranging.
Draj stared at him. It was impossible to tell what he made of it.
It's what Borodina was onto, Zidorov tried, knowing that was his strongest suit. She told me the balance was out up here, and no one was listening to her. If we leave these people alone now, when things are settling again, they'll have got away with it.
Draj kept staring at him. After a while, the silence became unnerving.
Take it to Castellan, then, he said finally.
I can't trust her.
Draj snorted.
What the fuck?
I can't trust her.
This all started with her.
She gets her funds from the Tereshova Combine. They're the ones who kicked this off, and they're the ones that wanted it all to play this way. I'm not saying Von Geller's involved. I'm saying that she won't act. If I go to her, she'll shut it down.
So what's the point?
Because I want to know the truth. Because I want to make what happened count for something. Because I fucking hate cell draining.
Draj thought about that.
Yeah, he said. I hear that.
Zidorov took a deep breath.
Then, are you with me?
Draj didn't reply for a long time. Zidorov began to think that he was doing it on purpose, or maybe it just took him a long time to think of the right words.
Tonight, he said bluntly, going back to cleaning his weapon. And there better be something to break.
Zidorov nodded.
Thank you. I mean it. And don't worry, there will be.
By then it was late afternoon. Zidorov's headache had only got worse, and his reactions felt poorer than they'd ever been. He wasn't only getting out of shape, he was getting old. He needed to try to get at least a couple of hours' sleep, or he'd be no use to Draj at all. He pondered taking a look at the feed from the personnel tracker and decided against it. It hadn't had time to generate anything yet, in all probability, and he didn't fancy fighting his way back to the Bastion to review holo footage. In any case, his hab was closer. And it made sense to head back there, take a shower, scrape the stubble from his chin, try to get a little downtime before all the hells kicked off again. As he drove back, he could feel his lids getting heavier, his empty stomach growling. The hab towers passed like blurry smears of grey, their edges feathered by the rain on the glass. The downpour had already stopped being welcome and had become an irritant. It made everything difficult. Bring on the dry season again. He reached his hab tower and wearily pulled in. He slumped his way to the elevator and leaned against the chipped interior as it rattled its way to its unit. By the time he reached the door, he was walking like a drunkard. As soon as the door slid open, he knew he wasn't alone. His hand snapped down to the grip of his Tsarina, and he tensed, his heart rate picked up, and he crept down the tiny hallway. Then Milijah poked her head round the door of the kitchen, saw him, and rolled her eyes. Zidorov let out a long breath. That had been stupid. He was getting stupid.
"What brings you back here?" she called out. Zidorov holstered the gun and closed the outer door. Then he shambled along the corridor and into the kitchen.
"I could ask you the same thing."
He went to the cold storage and looked for a carb bar. There weren't any, so he grabbed a Geniza and flipped off the stopper. Malija had been eating.
"I tried to contact you," she said.
"You did?
Something wrong with your comms?"
Sidorov checked and suddenly remembered. He turned off non-criticals when he beamed with Borodina. Shit, that was almost 20 hours ago.
What was happening to him?
He activated it and saw the flood of data bursts come in, many of them from Malija.
"Els, sorry," he said. "I've been busy."
Malija looked at him flatly.
"You and me both. I needed to get away, just for a few minutes."
She did look tired. Zidorov felt an urge to go to her then, to put his big arms around her, press his face into her hair, tell her that things had been rough, but they'd get better. It had been a while since he'd held her properly. Once they'd never let a day go by without it. She got up, carrying a plate and a glass, and brushed past him on the way to the auto cleaner.
"Naxi's gone again."
"Gone?
I mean, she slept here, but she's hardly been around."
Malija leaned back against the countertop, reached up and started to retie her hair.
"I'm worried. She was angry, and when I spoke to her last, getting angrier. She's saying all sorts about faith and duty. They really lay it on, don't they?"
Zidorov chuckled.
"She's young. She'll learn."
"Yeah, but I want to keep her alive until she does."
She shook her head. Zidorov had rarely seen her look so distracted.
"There's bad people in the city. Who knows who she talks to? I don't, do you?"
"You know what it's like, getting her to tell you anything."
"It didn't used to be like that."
"She's all grown up now. They want to give her a lasgun."
Malija blinked back tears.
"Yeah, too fast. And they've got their claws in now, and we're going to lose her."
He moved over to her, put an arm out, and she angrily brushed it aside.
"No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to tell me to calm down, that it'll be all right. I'm tired now and I'm angry."
Zidorov knew how she felt. It was getting hard to focus.
"So I'll try to..." "When? When will you talk to her? When are you ever here?"
She shook her head, wiped her eyes.
"Throne, you must think I'm stupid. You disappear for hours, your comlink off."
"It was a mistake."
"What, all the time? I know you weren't on duty the other night. I checked. So what were you doing, just driving around?"
Zidorov walked away from her.
"Don't be stupid."
"Yes, maybe I've been stupid for too long. Maybe I've trusted you for too long."
"Don't say that."
Zidorov turned on her, and his scar flared up right toward her.
"Look, do I chase up everything you do at work? Do I? I don't ask where you were every hour of the day. I don't want to. I want you to have a life. One that's not just me, Naxi, this place. You'd go mad. You'd scratch the walls down. It doesn't all just stop here at the door."
"I want it, though."
She looked at him.
"I want it all to stop. I want to close that door and have us again. The two of us, in here. This place. Our place."
That got him. He felt it like a kick. He couldn't remember when it had happened exactly, when the city had invaded, cramping everything else out, eating up the time, the space, even his dreams. Perhaps when he'd swapped a sanctioner's armour for a probator's service pistol and the investigations had become so open-ended that they never truly stopped. He'd felt it himself. Varangantua, lapping like an ocean under the doors, seeping into the plaz-fibre carpets, staining the walls so the smell never got out. He found himself staring at her, emptily. "So," she shook her head again, dismissively this time.
"Get your head together. You need to talk to yourself. Sort the words out. Get your excuses worked on. I'll wait."
She bustled out of the kitchen, pulling her own coat on over the white Medicare uniform.
"Where are you going?"
he asked.
"Back on shift."
She halted at the door.
"But if all that's too difficult, look out for your daughter. I want to know where she's going, what she's doing. Can you manage that?"
"I've no idea where."
"You're the law, Augusto. Work it out."
Then she was gone, stomping down the corridor, the door hissing closed behind her. Zidorov stood on his own for a little longer. He looked around the empty kitchen. He took a long swig of the beer, which was already going flat.
"Hells," he swore.
He finished the drink. He stripped his clothes off, smelling the funk of the long duty period. He scrubbed himself in the pulse shower, ignoring the tepid water. He had a shave. He put on a clean shirt.
Then he made a call. Then he set an auto alarm. Then he stomped down the hallway into the dorm chamber, fell on the cot, face first, and collapsed into sleep.